As usual, I've got a title for us to talk about today, and our teaching is the Holy Spirit my comfort? Is the Holy Spirit my comfort? We find that we look to various means for comfort. We all like comfort, and we all like to be comforted, encouraged, and helped. But we know that the scriptures show us that the flesh profits little, nothing. It is the Spirit that is to lead and guide and govern the Christian. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't come as the comforter, we are going to look elsewhere for comfort. And sadly, we've done this through our unbelief. And when we look elsewhere for comfort, that is the arm of the flesh, you will always find that there are elements of fear and stress and anxiety that are attached. We have today in society a lot of anger, frustration, people trying to find comfort in alcohol, drink, sex, gambling, material things, money, wealth, clothes, cars, houses, careers, friends, you name it. We have so many today who are seeking comfort in those areas. But it is only temporary. You see, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we also receive him as our comforter. And this is absolutely vital for us to understand. Because if we don't experience him as our comforter, we will always look elsewhere. That is the nature of man. And so we'll look into this today. I believe that there is a real neglect of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the churches today. They're becoming so lukewarm, so liberal. There's so much sin and blasphemy in the house of God, sadly now, that many lack the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they are not experiencing him as the comforter. To experience him as the comforter helps to keep us free from sin and unbelief. It keeps the house of God pure and holy in his sight. No wonder the powers of darkness try to rob and attack the Holy Spirit's work and ministry, because this is what he's come for, as a comforter. Now, before we go any further into this, we need to just understand a little bit about the ministry of the comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's that word, that Greek word, paraklete or parakletos. And it means that he's come to comfort. It means that the Holy Spirit's come to take over. It's the idea of leaning upon him. It's if you put your weight when you stand and you lean against a wall. Sometimes we've all done this because our legs are a bit tired. We just want a little bit of rest, or a chair. We sit down because we're getting a bit tired. So there is the idea that he has come not only empowering us to teach us and lead us and guide us, but also to comfort us, to be a comfort, to be a blessing, to help bear the weight. Remember when Jesus was taking his cross to Calvary, he couldn't bear the weight of it. It was too heavy. And so the Roman centurion called a man to help lift the load. There is the idea of the Comforter. And let's just look at some scriptures that gives us this understanding of him as the Comforter. Did you know that God's deity, his sovereignty, God himself is the Comforter? He is comfort. He doesn't try to be comfort or work at it, whatever it is. He is comfort to us, to those who are redeemed. And we get an idea of this in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. 139 and verses 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. And so it goes on. What is that speaking to us about? It is speaking about the comfort of God. You cannot run away from that comfort that he desires to minister and give to each of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let us learn today, as we open up the scriptures again, what the Holy Spirit's ministry is and should be to us. For example, what does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we don't know unless the Holy Spirit comes to search, to reveal and give. We are not going to understand any of this if we don't understand that he comes as Comforter. And so there, that reveals his omnipotence. He is revealed to us through his Spirit. And because it's revealed to us through his Spirit searches the deep crevices of our heart. And what is that for? To comfort you, to bless you. God knows how to communicate to the very depth of us. A human being can't do it. Your spouse, the one you may love, your closest to, cannot love and communicate like God does. And yet we put up barriers, don't we, from experiencing that love through his omnipotence. But it doesn't only stop there. We're talking about the Holy Spirit coming as our Comforter. He also comes as our teacher. We know these scriptures well, but they're very appropriate in what we're talking about. For example, in John 14, verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. He says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. Now, what's that peace about? That peace is about comfort. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's talking about himself as a comfort. Peace. One of the first things that Jesus often said when he rose again and appeared to the disciples and the people, peace, because he knew that fear was going to cause them to react. Because it's not every day that you see somebody suddenly appear in a room, do you? So there is the Comforter, peace, that he's ministering to our hearts. We see again in John 16, verse 12. John 16, verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he goes on about glorifying his name and so forth. Again, coming as a comfort, encouragement, good news. That's what this gospel message is about. What does it say in John chapter 6 and verse 63? John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Again, we are getting insight of the Comforter at work as a teacher. We also know that he has come to do a work in our lives, to save us. This is his divine work. And we see this in Job 33 and verse 4. Job 33 and verse 4. And he says here, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So there we are. He's made us. He has made us in his image. He has given us life. He's breathed his Spirit within us. This all again gives us the idea and understanding of him being the Comforter through the blessed Holy Spirit. And finally, just to emphasize doctrinally what we're talking about here, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, Genesis 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, which is the correct Hebrew term. He became a living being. So there we are seeing the work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, what he's doing. Now, the question that we raise with regard to all of this, can we say confidently that this is my experience? Am I experiencing this in my life? Again, we've got a lot of scriptures at the moment we're appealing to, but I make no apology because I always want the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to do its work in these meetings. And here he says, in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So the apostle is appealing to the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. And he's praying that these Christians will know God's grace, that they will know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will know the love of God, and they will have communion with the Holy Spirit. What a powerful prayer. Do we pray for one another that we will experience and find communion through the Holy Spirit? Can we not begin to see now how our prayers should be? It's very easy just to pray, Lord, bless my brother, bless my sister, and that all has a place, don't get me wrong. But God wants more depth from us. And it's very important that we learn to pray these prayers, that we pray for our brother and sister, Lord, that they may experience the communion the fellowship through the Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit to minister to them, to comfort them. Absolutely important. And God will answer these prayers. Now we know that the Holy Spirit is always to glorify Christ. That is what he's come for. Everything that we do, everything that we say, even this teaching that we're listening to today is for his glory. And we know this in John chapter 7 and verse 18. John 7 and verse 18. And he says here, "And he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So if we are always seeking the glory of God and not of ourselves, that is a clear indication of no unrighteousness also in that believer and those who love the Lord. In other words, the blood of Christ is doing his cleansing work as he should do. You see, many who profess Christ, sadly, there are a lot who do not really have the Holy Spirit. And that is what we are to discern, by what spirit a person who calls themselves a Christian speaks by. For example, in Romans 8, verse 9, we're still talking about the Holy Spirit being this comfort. "I want you from this teaching to discern him, to know him, to know when you hear him speak, to know when you hear him speak to other people or people who call themselves Christians. I don't care who they are. I don't care whether it's your son or daughter. You will hear the comfort of the Holy Spirit." And here, Romans 8 and verse 9, and he says here, "But you are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what good works they are doing, and many do good works. There are a lot of people out there in the world who are doing better works than you and I, that they get involved in, charities or whatever it would be. Out in the flesh, in the natural, there are many people out in that world who put us to shame. But that is not the test of a Christian. It is whether you have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Christianity, at the end of the day, is about whom God calls from the foundation of the world. Now, it's not to say that we are not to produce works of faith. Of course we are. But that is not how we're justified, by doing good works, charitable works. Because in the world, you will find that there are many out there who are doing more charitable works outwardly, good things, than even in the house of God. Thank God for his mercy and grace. That's why Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you, that you should come forth and bring fruit, pleasing, acceptable unto me." What does Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 tell us? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, and he says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." So the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, sends that recognition that confirmation that you are sons, daughters, you are destined for the throne of God as overcomers. He sends the witness in your heart, your spirit. Now he sends that witness to all who are truly born again, but not all want to enter into sonship. They still want to remain babes. And sadly, the house of God is filled with many believers like that. But the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come to work, to encourage and build us up in the faith, into adulthood, into maturity. We're not to remain stunted spiritually, which sadly so many are. That is why it says in the Beatitudes, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be what? Filled. Filled with what? The comfort of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and life. That's what it means. And he is, through the comfort, the Spirit of holiness. Another characteristic, and we see that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption and the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So that is another reason why we make so much of the Comforter. He is a seal. It is a guarantee. Now, many times when you purchase something, you can also get a guarantee with it. People like a guarantee. It just gives you a peace of mind that if anything were to go wrong, they will deal with it, they will put it right. So that is what is fundamentally saying him. He says, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, because there's no lie in the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, to whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, because God said he promised he would send his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come empowering you, baptizing you, but also it is a guarantor. It is a guarantee of that sealing. Now what? The analogy, I've given this many times, but the nearest thing we have to understand this is like you going to a shop and you see something and you say, I would like to buy that, and you pay for it, but you're going to collect it later on. Well, the first thing they do is they put a sign on that, what you bought, sold. In other words, nobody else can buy it. It's sold. It's going to be delivered later. That's what this means. You have been brought with a price through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He has put a seal on you, and the seal is you are purchased. You are not for sale. And that is to reveal to the powers of darkness that you do not belong to him. You belong to Jesus Christ, and he is coming back to purchase his goods. That's why we look for him. That is why we know he's coming for us, because he has purchased us through his death. That is what it cost God in flesh to purchase us. Well, my brothers and sisters, if that isn't comfort, I don't know what is. And that is what we're talking about today. The Holy Spirit as comforter. But we've read there, haven't we, in Ephesians 1:13, that he's also the Spirit of truth. He's also the Spirit of power. He's also the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He's also the Spirit of counsel and might. He's also the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, the grace and the comfort and so on. All of that is at your disposal that he ministers to you. Now, you don't get it by flashes of light or voices thundering from heaven or whatever it would be. This is communicated in you, in the spiritual side of you. We call it the heart. That is where he ministers and reveals himself. It's a miracle. We don't know exactly how it works, but we know that it works. And that's how he does it. That's why science rejects Christianity, because it can't find how it works. It's trying to find this object or this organ or whatever it would be in us where we communicate with God. And you can't, because this is all of the Spirit. And this is what frustrates science and scientists and psychologists. And unless God touches you, you remain spiritually blind and ignorant and know nothing, little of the Comforter. But that is not the case with us. What does it say in John 14 and verse 26? John 14 and verse 26. And he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There is the comfort, the encouragement. And he says again in chapter 15 of John and verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Helper, the Parakletos, that's what it means, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, thank God that he is, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So it's a witness. Everything God is saying, even this meeting, even the preaching of the word, is a witness to us of what he is saying and what he is doing. You say to me, well, I'm not sure what he's saying. Well, he's saying about the Holy Spirit who comes as the Comforter. That is what he wants us to know today. That's what he wants us to learn. That's what he's come to us today to help and encourage us, to show us what he does. He doesn't want us blind or ignorant. He wants us nourished and enriched in his word. And rightly so. But he's also come not only as comforter, but he's come also to move alongside, to take another role in our lives. So it's like you've been walking on a road since you were born, and suddenly you've been walking on this hard road, dry and barren, and somebody then comes and walks along the side of you. And suddenly, when you see that person coming, walking alongside with you, you're no longer thinking about how long this road is, how long I've been walking on it, and there's nothing much to see. Your attention is taken with something else. That person who's moved alongside of you. And that is what he does. He takes your attention away from unbelief, from fear, from anxiety. He takes your attention away from those negative reports, the things of the world. He takes our attention because he knows we will center it on other things otherwise. So that again is another idea of the Comforter. He's come to keep us in fellowship with him and the Father. And this is the work of what Jesus has done and is doing. Now, the question we raise today, is the Comforter a comfort to you or not? And if maybe he isn't, and this teaching is exposing where he's not, then we have a chance to get it right and to find out what's going wrong. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, and it says here, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, if he is not the comfort he should be, there is a problem with your conscience. You are ignoring your conscience. You are trying to push it back in your mind. You don't want to face the conviction of the Holy Spirit and what he's saying to you. You don't want to hear what he's saying. Do not continue walking down this path. Do not continue associating with those people. Walk away from those temptations, those vices that have a hold of you. Let my blood cleanse your conscience. And this is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You have to sometimes speak to these things in your life, in your mind that is attacking, by the blood of Jesus that cleanses the conscience. Man has a conscience. He knows it's wrong to murder. He knows it's wrong to commit adultery. He knows it's wrong to steal. Even a child knows it. Have you noticed children might steal something and what do? They hide it. The conscience. It's in us because we're made in the image of God. And he says, don't fight that. Okay, your conscience is condemning you. It's pricking you, as we call. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse your conscience. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb, because we don't stand a chance otherwise. Now, if that is not a comfort and a blessing, I do not know what is. It depends how much value you put on your life, whether you want eternity or whether you want to go to hell, to a Christless eternity. You have a choice. Because all those that will be in hell at the end will be there because they chose to go there. They ignored the promptings of their conscience. Fearful. That's why you need to read Romans 1. Where God finally gives them over to a reprobate mind. They have resisted the conscience. They have no longer allowed the blood of Jesus to cleanse. He says, right, I give them up to their filthy, defiled works. And that is what we are beginning to see with the great falling away now in the world. and it is frightening. It is fearful. They know nothing of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And another thing with the Comforter, he doesn't need your help. He wants you to move with him, not help him out or get in the way. Let him comfort you as he knows how to do it. And you say to me, well, okay, I want the Comforter. I want to comfort him. What can I give back to him? What can I do? I tell you what you do. You glorify him. You thank him. You praise him. You worship him. That's all he wants. If I will be glorified, I will lift all men unto myself, the scriptures say. That is what we do. We don't try and help him. We are so far gone that we need his help. And he's only too pleased to give it. But we worship and we praise him. And that's why God wishes to stand by us, to take part, to strengthen us, and so on. Why am I stressing all of this? Because Jesus knew in his flesh. He felt those emotions. He knew what it was to be tired, to hunger, to have pain, sorrow. He knew what it was to cry, anger, rejection. All of those things that we have gone through, or maybe you're going through. And because he knows that, he identifies with that as the high priest. He comes back to us with a great understanding of what you're going through. And that is why he comes to comfort us in our hour of need. And those who are not experiencing this comfort will always seek the comfort of something else, or the comfort of man. That's what we do. We'll go somewhere where we can get a bit of comfort and peace and joy. Whether you're turning to drugs or alcohol or whatever it would be. Because you're not drawing the comfort from the Holy Spirit. And that's why we run to the arm of the flesh. And we're experiencing more of the spirit of this world than we are from the Holy Spirit from heaven. No, we have got to learn that he is a comfort. I know it's only a small thing. Well, it's never small, no. I take that back. But I, over the last few days, experienced the comfort of the Lord. The Lord very, very graciously has blessed me with another car. And the enemy made it very clear that he didn't want me to have this blessing. And I won't go into all the details, but I didn't think I was going to purchase this car on a Thursday. And the moment I settled on the agreement and everything, the enemy became very vocal. He tried to attack and so forth. And because so much of our finances are done now online, guess what? I lost my phone and I couldn't find it. I said, Lord, you know. And I thought, I just look to you, the comfort of the Lord. He's under complete control. He knows where this phone is. I searched the car and so forth. And I felt the Lord say to me, take your landline phone, go out into the garage and ring from there your number. And so I rang and behold, I heard my phone ringing. and it was in the car, but I couldn't find it. And I rang again, and then, well, I could hear it was coming from. And to cut a long story short, it was right down underneath the seat in a very awkward position, which you would never find. But I persisted and kept with it, and praise God, I got my phone. Now, here is the blessing. God uses everything. I had to insure this new car, and I went through my usual insurer, and they gave me an insurance quote. And I, of course, wanted to go ahead and buy this insurance, but they were going to send me through a code number. And guess what? This code number could only be seen on my phone. And I hadn't got my phone at the time. So I thought, I don't know what to do. Lord knows. So you're only given 8 minutes with these codes before you can confirm your account. Well, it'd gone over 8 minutes. It had run out. Anyway, I found the phone eventually, as I said. I went back and felt the Lord say, try a different insurers. Go through a different one. So I went through a different one. Lo and behold, the same insurer came up again, but this time it was over £70 cheaper, my insurance. I thought, praise God, how he works. He worked through that situation. He allowed the phone to be lost for a while. He wasn't going to let me pay all that money for that insurance. There was another one offered £70 cheaper, and there I was able to get it. Now, if that isn't a comfort from God, I don't know what is. And I knew I was being tested. I knew the powers of darkness were there to try and rob me from a blessing, but I kept calm. I praised the Lord. I kept looking to him. I knew he would be faithful, and I wasn't going to let anything separate or hinder my relationship with God, because it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's just the car. All that matters is I stand right with him. And that's how he glorified his name. And I share that with you as I close, because that is what he's come for, to comfort, to lead and guide us. And we are to experience him working in the ways that he does. I wouldn't have worked that out in a million years, but he knew. And what it reveals is he's always one step ahead of the enemy.